I'm Robin Crane, and this is the Growing Your Financial Business the Woman's Way podcast. Listen, I was a financial advisor for over a decade, and I got so sick of the old archaic strategies that your grandpa used to get clients. What the industry teaches today is still so outdated and just doesn't work anymore. So I had to find a better way for myself, and then I got obsessed with sharing these how-tos with other women like me. The stuff I teach doesn't require giving up your life, your sanity, or your family time. I want women like you to have it easier than I had it, so you can thrive in the industry. I've now helped thousands of women grow their financial businesses to multiple six figures, some even seven figures per year. So on this podcast, you're going to get an inside look at how they did it so you can do it too. Let's dive into the show.
It's Robin Crane here with Sandy Forster, all the way from Australia. I know that's horrible. How dare I do that? But I had to. I had to try. So Sandy went from welfare to millionaire and was featured in Oprah's Aussie Secret and loves inspiring and empowering women to break through their blocks, attract abundance, and experience time and money freedom to do the things that make their heart sing. Her award-winning international bestseller, How to Be Wildly Wealthy Fast, has been translated into over 11 languages and banned to over 1.4 billion people because it was too empowering. I think that's awesome. It's like, bring on the haters. You know, if you get that much negative press, it must be really good, which is kind of freaky. Anyway, we're going to talk about money mindset. And even though you're in the financial services industry or insurance and you're thinking, oh yeah, I need this for my clients, you probably need it for yourself too. So this is something you can benefit from and help your clients. So welcome, welcome to the show, Sandy.
Thank you for having me, Robin. I'm excited to speak with you today.
Yeah, so good to have you. Last Aussie I had was Canadian. So it was very rough because I was like, where's the Aussie? And now I knew she was Canadian, but she lives in Australia. So yeah, tell us a little bit, what the heck, welfare to millionaire, how'd you do that? And I'm sure that's a phenomenal story. If it was good enough for Oprah, it's good enough for me.
So I'll try and put it in a nutshell, but basically I met a boy in high school. We went out for 11 years, got married. I had two children. I was doing like a hobby business on the side. I was just designing and manufacturing swim and gym wear. And I used to sew all winter and then sell it all summer. And when my youngest was 6 months old, my husband and I separated. And suddenly I had to make the money to pay for everything. And my hobby business just didn't cut it. And I ended up getting further and further in debt. I ended up closing that business and I had no idea what I could do. But the one thing I absolutely loved was personal development. I loved learning and listening about how other people had created success and were living amazing lives, while I was, you know, sitting around $100,000 in debt on welfare, getting $15,000 yeah. a year from the government, which, let me just calculate that for you, that was at the time $7,500. So it's not a lot to live on. So I was going further and further backwards. So I loved everything to do with personal development and loved, you know, just getting inspired and getting motivated. And so I developed a positive mindset. But everything changed when I discovered the law of attraction, which I know for some people might seem a bit woo-woo out there. But honestly, I think we live in such amazing times because science is validating everything that, you know, spirituality and the woo-woo has been kind of sharing for decades. And so I realized that I could change the way I thought. And if I rewired my subconscious mind, then my actual world would change because we have the ability to do that. And so I did. I just dived right in to neuroscience, law of attraction, did everything I could to change the way I thought. And that's exactly what happened. I went from welfare to millionaire. And now my absolute passion is showing women all around the world how they can do it too, because honestly, I figure if I can do it, anyone can do it.
That's awesome. So I cut out a tiny bit, but we'll just deal with that. That's what happens when you're all the way in Australia. But you said you went from welfare to millionaire. How long did that take from welfare to millionaire?
Okay. So I was, let me think. I was on welfare. I discovered the law of attraction. Things started to change. I kind of went on a roller coaster for a while. I started to make really good money, then I really struggled, and then I started to make more, and then I still had a dip and up and down. And probably it took me a good, probably from welfare to millionaire, a good 4 years.
Was I the first person that ever asked you that question? That, no, I feel like I almost stumped you there.
No. Other people ask me, but I'm not good with numbers. My math is
yeah.
really bad.
You're not good with numbers, but you are good with money.
She's making That's me awesome. Do math now.
Awesome. That's awesome. I'm very specific about certain things, but that's pretty crazy. So when you say millionaire, does that mean you were making $1 million or you got a net worth of $1 million?
At that time, so let me think again. You're making me do math. This is not good. It's 6 o'clock in the morning for me.
I mean, I know it's 6 o'clock in the morning for you Aussies. I'm just curious, like, how people say when I went from, like, I mean, if we're going to talk to financial advisors, I might
exactly.
as well just
they
ask
want to know the details. Question. Okay. Let me,
yeah.
Let
I mean, me. I like the details, but like,
I'll tell you, cause okay, let yeah, me tell you the, tell you my side of it and maybe you can calculate.
Okay. I'll do okay. the math for you.
All right. So I was in this business, like I woken up one morning with this name in my head, Wildly Wealthy Women. Now at the time, I was working with a financial advisor. She was a financial advisor, accountant, asset protection expert. She was all the things, like all the practical things. And so we were working together. We were promoting a course based around real estate and, you know, making money. And while that was good, that wasn't really my thing. I had been trained as a coach, and so I decided that, you know, I really wanted to bring that into the mix. And I woke up one morning with a name in my head, Wildly Wealthy Women, went online, registered a domain name. And then about 3 or 4 months later, we were both, me and my business partner, were both in the US at a seminar for this course that we were promoting. And I said to her, I've got this idea, you know, this is great having this practical course, but for me, being able to ask you questions all the time, that's the thing that makes all the difference for me. That's the thing that, like, I'm a question asker. I can't move ahead unless I know the answers to things. So I'd love to put together a program that was based on, yes, the practical side, the real estate investing, but bring in the mindset, bring in some of that. And then you can share some tips around financial advising. And we'd call it Wildly Wealthy Women, or we'd have Wildly Wealthy Women's Wicked Weekends, and we'd have live calls every week, and you'd share all your information, and maybe once a month I'd share some mindset stuff. Anyway, she said, yeah, that sounds great. Go ahead. So I started.
Count me in. What do you do with the work?
Yeah, you do the work. I'll just jump on board. So basically that's what we did. So so I went ahead and I created this program, and I started getting the word out, and I found someone to try and kind of let everyone know. And we got some stories on TV, and I created a website all of a sudden. And basically what happened was we had something like 750 women join in about a 4 month period. And it was $3,000 per person. So that was like a lot of millions. Okay. So you
how,
do that.
How much?
You do the math.
How much was it? 3,000 or?
Yeah, 3,000. Make it three, because I can't remember if it was 2,900 or 3,900. So make it three.
Okay. So it's around $3,000 and you got 750. Yeah. That's $2.5 million basically.
Okay. So there you go.
And I might not be doing the math right, but if it was $750, that's $1.5 million. So yeah, about $2.25 million. That's cool. Yeah.
And the thing is, remember, this is an online business where you've got no overheads, basically.
Yeah, that's insane. So like, that's insane. Cause like, there's so many steps that happen in between there, which is like my marketing brain really wants to know, but I don't know if that's going to benefit everybody else, because you had to get that many. I mean, to get 750 people to buy something at around $3,000, like, you had to get way more eyeballs.
Yes. So what we did, just so you know, yes, we got some stories on TV.
A lot of marketing to get there.
Well, not really, because we, as I said, I got a couple of stories on TV and some magazine and newspapers picked up stories, and they did a few stories. And so what I did was organize live events in a couple of the capital cities. So we don't have you know, hundreds of capital cities like you do. We have like, I don't know, eight or something. So we did five different cities, and we had like 600 women showing up at each capital city to hear what we were doing. And out of all of those women, 750 joined.
Wow. And, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So let's go backwards, because again, for me, I want to know all about those details, but I don't think it's going to help anyone else. So it's not about you, Robin. What I do think that will help everybody else is really around the money mindset, because it's just, it sounds like it was an overnight success, and everybody knows there's no such thing as an overnight success, but like to some degree, like things started to take off because you had these ideas. And so I want to know the money mindset stuff of what you teach and what works, where let's say, forget about you for a second, because now you're the guru, and now, you know, as much as you're the guru, everybody listens to you, but no one believes you. You know, it's like, I know that you did it. Of course you did it, because they know you. Yeah. When you were on welfare, you know, it's like, I believe you, but I don't. Right. And then somehow you did it, but it's like, can you help other people do it? So give me an example of just someone that's gone through your program or programs that really what you teach or what you taught them as far as money mindset and like the steps to take that allowed someone even to go from, you know, 10,000 to 20,000 or 20,000 to 50,000, you know, like the initial little jumps that are actually quite big that lead to the millions.
Yeah. Okay. So let me think. So I've got one woman called Chantel, who is a kind of a business strategist, and she was making $1,000 to $4,000 weeks in her business. And, you know, she felt like she was doing pretty okay. But she had a dream to buy a house. She really wanted to buy her own house, and she separated from her husband. She was, you know, didn't have a partner, so she was really keen to do something herself. And so she went through my program, and instead of doing $1,000 to $4,000 weeks, she started doing $8,000 to $16,000 weeks, and she was able to get enough money together to buy her own home on the river. Mm. And she sends me pictures. Oh. And so basically she didn't do anything different in her business, but what she did was she changed the way she thought. She changed the way.
All right, let's
do it.
Money mindset. Do you know, by the way, Natalie Ledwell? Because she's also Australian.
Yeah, Natalie.
So Natalie, if you guys haven't heard that podcast, she was on episode, I just looked it up, 92. This was back in October of 2022, Manifest Your Way to Success. Another Aussie. We're going to just rack up the Aussies here. But she's amazing. She talks a lot about similar stuff, law of attraction and mindset, and I'm not necessarily just money, but tell us some of the principles, some of the things that they can, listening now, they can walk away with. And when I say they, I mean me, because I actually am like super into the law of attraction. And I just went on this Vivid Vision retreat. I had another podcast recently. I had Jennifer Hootie on. I'll look that one up in a second, but Jennifer Hootie talked about Vivid Vision. And oh, here it is, episode 120, just back at May 3rd. Check that one out too, episode 120 on May 3rd, 2023. But she talked about Vivid Vision. I went to her Vivid Vision retreat. And so like, I'm a mat, you know, I'll believe in all this stuff. Like I believe the way your, you know, thoughts create your beliefs influence your behaviors influence your success. So like, I'm a big believer, but my challenge is always getting myself to actually like not get stuck in the negative thoughts, or like knowingly like, okay, I gotta like see it, believe it, and do the work that will imagine that allow me to imagine it and create it and make it happen. Right. So what are some of your techniques? Because like we need the how. I can believe it. I can believe it. I can believe it. You obviously have a course, you have work, it teaches you how to do it. What are some of the main principles of how you manifest this stuff by, in, you know, whatever your money mindset stuff is?
Yeah. So I'm a huge believer in marrying the practical with the metaphysical. I think you can go out and do a lot of doing, you know, all the strategy, all the practical. And yes, you will get results, but unless you've got the mindset working with you, you can self-sabotage, you can make it really hard for yourself. But then on the other side of the coin, you could be sitting around meditating and affirming till the cows come home. And unless you're actually taking action, nothing's going to happen. So when you join the two together, that's where the magic happens. So, you know, in my programs, I always teach, and it's really funny talking to a whole lot of, you say, financial people, because I feel like I came into this thinking, they're going to think I'm some sort of freak if I start talking about law of attraction. But obviously you're into what.
No, so that's probably good. Not my people, because I'm a bigger freak in the scenario. So as long as I'm the biggest freak, nobody cares. I think a lot of what's interesting, just to pause on that, but like what's interesting is I think, and I don't really know who's listening. I would love for you to send me an email and tell me who you are and why you like the show. But I think that they're very open, because in the industry, they're sick of the male dominated industry that's being taught one way. And there's very little focus on mindset. There's very little focus on any strategies that are truly aligned with women's values and what's most important to them. And I really think there needs to be an entire paradigm shift in the industry, not just women, but advisors as a whole, where the way that we attract clients, way that we do sales and marketing and business is shifted, because women especially are not aligned with it, but also it's not benefiting the end user, the client as a whole, right? So I think the women who come in my world, they know that I'm a freak and that I'm different and crazy. And so they're open to those things, because that's the path to becoming the person they're meant to be, to attract what they want. So this isn't the first time they've heard this type of crap. I mean, stuff. But it's definitely not normal in the industry, but it is normal in my community. So normalized.
Well, so having normalized said that,
yeah. So tell us some of those strategies.
So this is really interesting, because when I first partnered with my business partner, she's not my business partner anymore, but when we first partnered together, we were selling this course, and I was in a mindset. She was not at all, not in the slightest. Like, even when I got a friend to talk a little bit about mindset from the stage, she said, oh, you know, shook her head and thought she was a bit crazy. And yet she came to me one day and she said, Sandy, I really want, because she was living just in suburbia. And this is a financial planner, asset protection person, like all the practical. She said, Sandy, I really want to live on a beautiful property, you know, drive down a driveway and have this gorgeous property and build my dream house. And I said, I'm going to create you a guided visualization. So I did. I asked all these questions, created a guided visualization where we went. And it was really cool. About 4 years ago, I was invited to a meditation session at her place. And it was really funny, because I arrived there. She's got a seminar. She has this place that she actually says to me, Sandy, I curse you to this day. Why didn't you, when you created my guided visualization, say that I had a paved road? Because in it, I said, you drive off the main road, down a gravel road to your property. And that's exactly what she does.
Gravel? Oh, my God.
Yeah, gravel road. And so, but she's got this beautiful big property. She made enough money to buy this beautiful property. Acres and acres. She's actually built an entire seminar room, like a massive seminar room that holds hundreds of people. Sweet. Gorgeous thing. And so I'm laying in that seminar room thinking, you know, how amazing that this person who's very practical, all into money, that was her thing, came to me and asked me to help her to manifest something. And now she's totally into the woo-woo. And, you know, I was just speaking to her yesterday. She is now sailing the world for 3 years. Her and her husband sailing the world. Bought a yacht, I think, in the UK, sailing back to Australia. But what she does is they're sailing the world, sailing slowly back. But every time a seminar or something that she needs for work happens, they just fly home, do it, fly back onto the boat, and away they go. So
wow, you know, that's awesome.
I know. So visualization is probably one of my most favorite things. Like, I teach a squillion things. I love learning, applying, seeing how it works in my life, sharing it with others, seeing how it works, and then teaching it to everyone. So I do a lot of different things because I love all that mindset stuff. But visualization, I think, would be probably my favorite, because it really transports you to a different place. And when you're doing a visualization, and if you're doing it the way that I teach, you really get into it. You're not just seeing, but you're really in the moment, and the feelings that you feel as if you're living that ideal life, and you're surrounded by abundance, and you've got choices and possibilities, and you've got so much freedom. That is a really cool, like, that is so cool. So visualization is probably my most favorite thing.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, cool, cool, cool. And then, I mean, what I've learned around visualization is that, yeah, the more senses you can be attuned with, the more, like, you know, the easier it is to actually create. But also that it's you put yourself there as if it's already happened. It's either in the present tense or, like, you know, I have, like, I'm living at the beach and I have these glass windows that I can see from every room, I can see the waves crashing, you know, and I hear you. So the more you can put your senses to it, I hear the waves crashing and in the moonlight, you know, I can see, like, the white water exactly. touching the rocks, or, you know, something it. Like that. Yeah. Right. So
it's all the stuff.
I gotta work on that. That's starting with me for
But people start to, when they do a visualization, they close their eyes and then they see a movie of themselves, or, you know, whether they actually see or whether they imagine, but they see this movie of themselves. Whereas you've got to stop doing that and you've actually got to step back into your body and you've got to look out as if you're in your body and you've got to be in your body in the visualization rather than seeing yourself in the visualization.
How do you do that? Because I always... Like, I feel like I want, someone said that the other day to me, I feel like, or maybe it was something I heard, I don't know, on a podcast or something, but I feel like I heard something like it was when you visualize, you actually see yourself like you see yourself in a movie, not from how you see yourself, like when you're dreaming or in from your eyes. So, like, it's hard for me to even know, cause I'm kind of seeing it, but I'm kind of not. Like, I see it. And I don't really see me, I don't think, but, like, do I? Like, can I look down on my hands?
Like, you're actually in the movie. Like,
maybe.
Like, for instance, if I said to someone, okay, you want to imagine yourself in your dream house, do a visualization about you being in your dream house. So you would imagine that you're driving up to the driveway and you can see your hands on the steering wheel and you get out of your car and you walk up to the front door and you see your hand on the front door and you feel the cold crispness of that front door handle and you open it up and you walk in and you can feel the tiles or the carpet, whatever it is, under your feet. And you know, you look to the left and you look to the right and you see the things that you can see. So you're not watching your body move through. You're actually in your body looking. That's more powerful than just watching you on a screen.
It's weird. Okay. Good woo-woo stuff. Okay. So one, visualization. Can you give us two more top? Because I hate to say everybody knows that, but, like, most people know that. There's some secret that you could tell us that maybe no one.
I don't think it's a secret. I wouldn't say it's a secret, but it's definitely something that is really powerful that people just kind of underestimate. And that's the reticular activating system. So, you know, we've got this little spot at the bottom of our, what do you call it, base of our skull.
Amygdala or something?
No, it's a reticular activating system. And what happens is kind of a gateway between the conscious and the subconscious mind. And what happens in life is, if I was to say to you right now, well, what can you see? You could probably list off thousands of things, of things. It would take you days to actually list everything. So I could say I could see a computer and I can see you and I can see a light and I can see out the windows and palm trees and I can see the roof of my house and I can see the tiles and they're light color tiles and dark color tiles and the palm trees got light and dark and on and on and on. Like, I could literally go on forever. So our system has been wired so that rather than take it all in and then our brain just explode, our subconscious says, okay, this is what is important, so only let this in. So the way that works when it comes to money is, if we're reading about the economy crashing and we're listening to crap on TV about things going south and we're talking to our neighbours about how prices are going up and we're complaining to our best friend about the cost of blah, 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 what we're doing is we are training our subconscious mind that this is important. This is what we need to look out for. And so when we go out into the world and our conscious and subconscious mind, it's all being filtered out and our subconscious is only letting through to our conscious mind what is important, we've already told our subconscious mind what is important is not having any money, economy crashing, prices going up, blah, blah, blah. And so we create that. That's what we see. Whereas when we begin to do all the different things that I love to teach, like affirmations and visualization and creating vision boards and doing releasing processes and tapping and like a million different things that you can do to begin to put your focus on what you truly want, what happens is when you think about abundance, think about prosperity, think about being rich, think about living in that dream house, driving that dream car, making a difference in the world, donating to charities that you want. When you think about all of that more of the time than what's actually happening, then you're letting your subconscious mind know this is important. So when you go out into the world, what happens is you begin to see things that allow you to create the abundance and bring in the money and create that dream life and buy the house and make a difference. The bottom line is it's woo-woo, but it's so scientific. We get the choice every moment.
I know. It's
true. How to do it. Yeah.
That's awesome. So I think for financial professionals, especially, like, I guess this is to follow up that what you just said, a follow up question to that is like, so how do you do that when you have to be knowledgeable about what's going on? Like I am one of those people that is not knowledgeable about what's going on because for those exact reasons, except that like, I'm also not drawn to it. I never liked watching the news when my mom talks like, this is horrible to say, but like I was celebrating my dad's 80th birthday in Denver a month or so ago. And we got in the car with my brother and he was talking about shootings, like schools, and we both have young kids and like, I couldn't handle it. And like, he's like, well, you should be aware of it. You need to know. I know that stuff's going on, but like, I don't want to know the specifics of like, I can't even go there. Like, it just makes me so scared to think of any, God forbid, anything happening to my children in a school. Like the thought of it hurts me so much just thinking about it that like, I would rather avoid it till the cows come home. Like, I don't watch the news. I don't pay attention to what's going on. I get my news sometimes from, you know, advisors telling me, oh, the bank's collapsed. Or, you know, I do have some mentors, you know, so like when I know what's going on to some degree, but I try to not pay attention. As a financial advisor, that was not a good quality. Because then like, I don't necessarily know what's going on. And the way I found out, maybe my clients might say like, well, what happened with the banks collapsing or what's going on with the Fed rates? And I'm like, can I get back to you in a minute? Let me go look that up on Google. I kind of had to train myself to know enough, right? That of course is relevant. Although I could argue that, well, when it comes to financial planning, typically we're not going to change the plan because banks collapse anyway. We're not going to, you know, change the plan because the Fed rates are going up or going down. We're not going to change the plan and like start to react just because of something happening in the news. So I can argue that point that I don't need to know everything going on because it's not going to change the course of what we need when we focus on all the stuff that's not working. But if they feel like they have to know, and especially women, I think we get scared that someone's going to point out that we don't know something. We feel like we need to know everything and they're going to make us feel stupid because, you know, we're not knowledgeable about whatever. Am I just projecting here? I don't know, maybe. But what do we do? Like, do we know about it? And then just then we have to focus on what we really want and all the good things happening like 10 times as much just to compensate. Or is it okay to just kind of say, yeah, like I don't pay attention to that stuff because actually you're not retiring for 3 years or 30 years. So it doesn't even matter.
Yeah. Good question. And you know, it comes down to the individual. So for some people like you and the shooting, you don't want to even know about it. You can't even go there. I'm the same. I don't want to even go there. Some people love to just dive into all that crap and like whether it's financial or anything, they just love talking about it. My mower man came around the other day, mower my lawn, comes up and says, have you heard what's happened? And I said, oh, what's happened? He said, it was on the news. I said, oh, what? Then he started telling me about something happening in America with the banks and they're going to close the hospitals. And it's like, I said, hang on a minute, wait. I said, that's not going to happen. And if it happens, it's not going to affect us. It's like, you need to just take it. Like, it's all going to be okay. Like, it's like the bottom line is, and I think when people are working in the industry, not my mom, man, but when they're working in the industry, yes, they can know, but it's whether you then put energy into it, like whether you then stir your emotions up. So you could hear about and all those things that you said, my brain's like, what is she even talking about? Like Fed something, I don't know, but whatever, some say something's crashing.
US talk, US talk.
Yeah. So say something's crashing, something's going down, something's bad. Yeah. You can either listen to that and be aware of that and know that and let that go, knowing that you actually have the ability to create abundance regardless of what's going on. Or, and when you do that, then when you focus on, yes, I have the ability to yes, that can be happening, but people need to understand, I'm sure financial planners and financial people know that there are more millionaires created when things go south than when things are going really good. So it's like, which side of the fence do you want to be on? They're making money because they know that this can happen. It's like the last GFC. I remember everyone was talking about everything going south, everything being bad. And I'm saying, look, this is the time to really focus on creating abundance. Because if you get your mindset in the right place when things are going really south, you will be so much further ahead of everyone else when things start to turn, and you'll be able to create great abundance. And, you know, I still believe that it really boils down to how you're feeling yourself in the moment, how you're actually reacting emotionally to what's happening. And yes, you can take the information in, but if you don't take it in emotionally, then it's not going to affect you. You're not going to create it, because emotions are what give your thoughts and the things that you want to create, give them energy to actually create them, whether it's positive or negative. So if you're not putting emotion into it, then you're not going to create it.
Oh, it's so good. That's great. And that's the challenge, is like the constant game of beating your emotions and not letting that get to you. And the reframe of like, wow, what an exceptional opportunity. I remember, I'll just end with this because I know we got to go. But I have a mentor, Alex Sharfin. He was also on the show. You can look him up. He's amazing. But he was saying that it doesn't matter. Like he talks about the entrepreneurial personality type. He's all about entrepreneurs. He thinks entrepreneurs will save the world, change the world, do everything for the world. And one of the things he said is like, it doesn't matter what's happening, like all the bad things, whether it's banks collapsing, whether it's, he's very aware of it, but he doesn't put a lot of energy towards it, but he's, whether it's base collapsing, whether it's global warming, whether it's, you know, whatever, he's like, entrepreneurs will solve it. We always have, and we always will, you know? So it's like, he sees it as like, it's just a fact. These things that aren't perfect, let's say, are happening, but like, it's all solvable problems, and like, we're going to fix it. And it's almost like, you know, we find the good in everything. And like you said, I think that's a really good point, is millionaires are made when the markets are down. Millionaires are made when there's tough economies, and it's going to be whether you choose that this is going to be a problem or this is going to be an opportunity. You know, as one of my other mentors said, he's like, what do we call it? Why can't I think of it? But just the markets, I guess, not that it's a fancy word, but markets are designed to go up, and like, it's going to go up. The market will go back up. It always has, and it always will, because it's designed to go up. Even the Fed, you know, in our case in the US, like we'll make that happen. So it's only just a blip in the system that we can take advantage of, and what an amazing opportunity. So thank you for your perspective. That was phenomenal. Tell them where to find you, Sandy.
You can find me at wildlywealthy.com. But if your readers do want to dive into the woo-woo a little bit and would love some affirmations and guided visualizations to really start that mindset, that money mindset happening, they can go to wildlywealthyfree.com, and I've got some audios there for them.
Ooh, I'm going to get myself some of those. Thank you. All right. Well, thank you all for joining us on Growing Your Financial Business the Woman's Way. We'll see you next time.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.